This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
We have a ton of guests, as usual. We have a ton of stuff to talk about. And what's happening there, Mr. Durham?
Commissioner of the ACC, John Swofford, will be here at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll talk about the news yesterday.
In the basement.
No, not here.
Eventually, we're going to get the commissioner in the basement.
Oh, won't that be a special
It's coming.
He'll join us live from Greensboro. We'll talk about the ACC's endorsement of the one-time transfer rule that the Big Ten initiated.
And I'm not surprised, are you?
No, I'm not surprised. I got some questions. I'm combined with the transfer portal, combined with all the other little things that are going on now here in the last, 2 years? Student athletes, and we talked about this, student athletes have a ton of power. I mean, you know, the idea that a kid can finish a practice and walk into the compliance office and put their name in the transfer portal and go about their day is reality. And I wonder how this adds to that. And
I don't have a problem with it. But I do think.
I understand.
There needs to be some rules and regulations where it's not just as simple
there
as.
There we go.
Hey, we don't like our show anymore. We're done. We're here. I mean, it can't be that easy. But.
Well, not for us.
We hope not. It can't be that easy for the student athlete. But I don't have any issues with the fact that, hey, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And, you know, sometimes you make a decision that you think's right and is wrong. Now, I don't like it when student athletes are transferring 3, 4, 5 times just because, you know, if they're not going to let me play or I heard somebody whisper something in the upper deck and that offended me. I mean, it gets to be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But I do think there needs to be some rules and regulations. But I'm all for the student athlete having as much say-so about where he or she needs to go to maximize whatever it is, their education or their sport or whatever it happens to be.
Well, we'll talk more about that and also what it means in context now that you're adding the other sports. The rule's kind of been there for all the sports except the basketballs, the football, what have you. So certainly baseball's had it because baseball has the clock anyway with the amateur draft and that type of deal. So
okay, let's get to hoops.
Holy smokes.
Raise your hand if you've seen this movie before. Is it getting to be almost comical? I mean, and I don't mean to make light of it. Notre Dame had to win this one last night just to kind of keep some faint hopes alive. They're down 15 with 8.5 minutes to go at home. Really no energy, no surprise. They've been on the road 3 games in 8 days. You figure they could possibly be flat after what Duke did to them on Saturday. Here's North Carolina, fresh off another gut-wrenching loss to Virginia.
And a 29% three-point shooter against the league, Cords won.
I mean, this is almost getting to be, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, North Carolina's up by 15 with 8.5 minutes to go. They're up by 9 with just under 5 minutes to go. They're up by 5 with a buck 20-something to go. Cole Anthony takes kind of a crazy shot late. Notre Dame gets the ball back and makes a 3 with 2 seconds to go. Ball game. Catch you later. Unbelievable. It's crazy.
Can we go to the Brian Ives tweet?
How, by the way, is he okay?
Yeah, we need to make sure all the sharp objects are away from Ives.
He is such a North Carolina fan.
Look at this. This is it right here. A field goal or free throw to tie or take the lead this season. Look at this. I mean, 27 seconds, 23. And by the way, the at Virginia Tech stuff ends up in what, double overtime? Boston College.
Yeah, but the only problem is there's 4 Virginia Tech games. How many times have they played the Hokies this year? I think
once.
Just once.
Yeah.
All right, so let's condense that a little bit.
Well, that's the – yeah. But then you start thinking about – just look at this. It's unbelievable how all this has played out. And now all of a sudden you're thinking – and you said it right before we went on the show. They're this year's Clemson.
I mentioned to you that last year – there's always a team. This is true in football. It's true in basketball.
Exactly right.
It's true in baseball. And you always talk about the math doesn't always add up.
This is where the math doesn't add up.
A year ago, there was a team in ACC basketball that would find a way to lose every close game known to man.
That's right.
That team was Brad Brunell's guys down there in Tigertown. They ended up losing, I think, 5 ACC games by 2 points or less. That was the difference between being an NCAA tournament team and going – how do we lose all the momentum from a season? This year, it's North Carolina. North Carolina is now 1-6 in games determined by 3 points or less.
That's right.
1-6. They have had the lead in 5 different games by double digits in the second half and have gone L.
The only close game Carolina's won all year has been Yale.
You know, that was at the end of the calendar year.
That's
and
correct.
Non-conference games. So that didn't really matter. But, you know, you're talking about a team that right now is 0 for February. Now, I'm just going to say something. I know there's going to be a fan base that's going to go screaming at me here in a second.
Okay.
North Carolina is 0 for February. They're 0-6.
Right.
They have three more games left in the month to try to win a game in the month. North Carolina this weekend is at Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you. I know the Cardinals are struggling, but they will be a dog in that game.
Okay.
Then they play NC State. Now, we had Garrison Brooks on the show a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I said to Garrison Brooks, I said, dude, I know how to get you guys out of any funk you're ever in. Go play NC State. Every time North Carolina sees the red and white of NC State, they play lights out.
Right.
Doesn't matter what it is. So they, North Carolina in the month of February has got to go to Louisville and to Syracuse, and they have NC State at home in between. I am going to tell you they will probably be a dog at Louisville, right? In all likelihood. They're going to probably be a dog at Syracuse, and then you got to figure, hey, NC State's coming to Chapel Hill.
And you have Wake. Well, they have that's, Louisville State at Syracuse, Wake at home.
I know, but
at Duke.
I'm just talking about in the month of February.
Oh, the month.
They
I got you.
Winless
okay.
in
right.
February.
Yes,
they have three games left in February.
Two at on Louisville the road, and at Syracuse.
Right, two on the road and NC State at home. And I know NC State fans are sitting there going, "Oh, here we go again." You know what? How come we're the only ones that can't beat North Carolina? You know, State fans are saying that.
Sure.
Especially after the game you did Sunday night, in which you just wondered, how in the world are they doing this deal? Again, great win for BC.
Mm-hmm.
But crazy at the end. Ridiculous last possession.
Right.
But going back to this, this was a humongous win, though, for Notre Dame, in the sense that you had to win. Dead legs and all. Mm-hmm. You had to win the game.
Right.
And when you look at the rest of Notre Dame's schedule, hey, you know what? To be honest with you, it's kind of manageable. Just saying. I mean, I know nobody's buzzing about Notre Dame on the – you know, the wrong side of the bubble and all that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you that Notre Dame has a chance to finish this with a nice run. But they had to win that game last night. And when they're down 15 with 8 minutes and 30 seconds to go, it did not look good because they had zero energy.
By the way, they play one team remaining in their last five that is north of them in the standings.
That's what I'm saying. They got a chance to go on a run here at the end of the season.
And that's Florida State at home.
Yep. But that was a must comeback for Notre Dame last night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And for North Carolina, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, I've seen so many gut punch games to them that you're almost like, man, how's the liver? How's the kidney? I mean, seriously.
Well.
They have found unbelievable ways to lose games. You know what else was crazy last night? Well, they made free throws. I mean, in the Duke game. Hey, you couldn't throw it in the ocean.
Oh, they made them last night.
Last night, they made 12 of 14.
Shot them like Bob Cousy last night.
Looked like, hey, we got this thing totally under control. And then, whammo, again, Notre Dame, unbelievable win for Notre Dame. Crazy good win for them.
So,
come back from the dead.
Carolina fans trying to keep sharp objects away from them, right?
I think North Carolina fans have had, I mean, I think they're just worn out. I mean, you think about what North Carolina fans went through in the football season, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every game, it just seemed like, hey, it comes down to last possession. You win them, you lose them, overtime. Their football season was nuts. This basketball season has just been really unlike anything you've ever seen. I mean, Roy Williams has now lost six straight. That's the longest losing streak he's had. He's been coaching for 32 years, six straight.
Roy's had it.
Oh.
You got two choices. You can compete your butt off, or you can get up in the fetal position and curl up and start crying. I'm not going to freaking do that. We're going to – excuse me. I apologize to everybody. We're going to freaking compete, and that's what we're going to do. We play Saturday. You can feel sorry for yourself, and you feel sorry for yourself, and you're going to do that the rest of your freaking life. And I apologize. I usually don't. You know, I don't know what I'm doing right now. When I weigh, I'm cursing.
Coach, apology accepted. Coach has had it. You can just tell he's just worn out. You stick a fork. Roy's done.
What are you doing, Coach?
Roy just—he said, you know, apologies. I'm going to Morse code it. Apology accepted. You know when the freakins turn into something else, it's not good. Dadgummit. I'm telling you, he's had enough. You know that game last night.
Oh, Mark. I mean, not last night. It's last month.
No, you're right. But last night's game, Wes. Hey, your team's playing well.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting touches. Garrison Brooks is rocking it inside. Cole Anthony's having a decent game, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You got Robinson back on the floor making some shots. You're up 15. Notre Dame has got zero energy. Crowd's dead. They're tired. They've been on the road forever. And, I mean, you couldn't have scripted a better case scenario. If you said to Roy before the game, dude, you're going to be up 15 with 8.5 to go, and Notre Dame's not shooting the ball well. You take that right now before we tip it off? Absolutely. And, you know, they made 12 or 14 free throws. I mean, it wasn't like it was the Duke game where, you know, you and me are out there trying to slap at it. I mean, come on. These guys had this game right where they wanted it last
night. Look at Brandon Robinson's back last night, and he was knocking them down.
And when Cole Anthony makes the shot with like 1.5 minutes to go to go up 5,
that's
you're
the
thinking,
one you're feeling good about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the one that's kind of like, you know what, tonight's our night. We're going to win this game. But Notre Dame, to their credit, man, they just kept hanging in there, banging around, Mooney doing his thing inside.
And they went on that run in the second half, and you're thinking, okay. This is a pretty good team they're beating, right?
Yeah.
And see, here's probably the most frustrating part for Carolina fans. There's a sequence of every game where the light comes on. And the light is on, and it's on for like 14 minutes collectively.
Wes, there's a stretch in the game last night where North Carolina goes from 9 down.
To 14 up?
To 15 up.
15 up, yeah.
In a stretch of 16 minutes, they outscored Notre Dame 42-18.
Yeah.
And lost the game.
Right.
How do you do that?
But see, here's the thing. They're 18-22.
Yeah, but so is the other team.
I know that, but
I mean, it's not like Notre Dame's got a bunch of 35-year-old veterans out there. Come on.
This North Carolina team, this group of 18-22, has now had like the stuff happen all around them. I mean, they've had it happen all around them. Now, look at the graphic we ran. Look how many games.
Yeah, but four of those were Virginia Tech. Ives started losing.
No. Well, yeah. I've started losing.
Surprised Ives didn't have like 23 Virginia Tech scores up there.
No, but
one game.
But when you start thinking about the margins now, just in the last month since the start of February,
0-6.
I mean, it's crazy to think how many different games they've had that have been positioned like this. I mean, you start looking at this. It's 1 against BC. It's 6 at Florida State. It's 2 in overtime against Duke. It's 2 at Virginia, and it's 1 last night. It's crazy. I mean, this is just this month now. I mean, they're not – you got to cross a mental hurdle now as much as you have to win the actual game.
The boys agree with it, by the way.
Well, and here's the other part. You start to think, last night won the first night. I'm sitting there watching the end of the game going, okay, now how are they going to handle this possession? Can they get the stop? And then Kihei Clark, and it's a great play, by the way.
Yes, it was.
It's a great drawn-up play. And their mistakes, and Dan Dockich did a really good job telling you Leaky Black shouldn't have left his feet, but also Carolina handed off. They played it defensively the right way until Clark got under the basket, it looked like.
Before we go to break.
And then last night, John Mooney driving left-handed, guarded by Garrison Brooks. You'll take that all day because Carolina, Notre Dame's going to put it in their best player's hands. Carolina's going to get their best guy inside is Brooks. And you get the miss. And then all of a sudden, bang, bang. And a 29% three-point shooter in league play.
Makes it.
With a guy running at him now. I mean, it wasn't like it was clean. Black was running at him. It's crazy, boy. It's crazy.
Before we go to break, though, and I know it's just one of those crazy years. It's crazy for North Carolina's men's team.
Mm-hmm.
It's been crazy for Notre Dame's women's team. We're talking about two of the greatest coaches you'd ever want to talk about with Muffet and Roy. And ironically, they're just both having one of those kind of years. You almost have to laugh. I got to be honest with you. When I saw this, it was like, man, good for them.
Yeah.
Because this is actually quite funny.
It is. Yeah. And then the fact she rolled Steve Kerr in there, too.
Right. You know, at Golden State, don't you sit there and pretend like it's not happening. You have one of those kind of years as well.
Yep.
And sometimes you're just better off staying in bed.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Roy should have gone over and seen Muffet's Flowers.
Yeah. Something.
But it was snowing to beat the band yesterday in South Bend, I hear.
But that was clever right there.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Good for them. You got to be able to smile and get up, folks.
Yeah, you know, you keep score. You know, everybody's still got a roof over your head. You're still making a lot of money. You love what you do. And you're frustrated as all get out because your teams just are not getting the job done.
Yeah.
But I got news for everybody. If you're enjoying Notre Dame women's team struggling, and if you're enjoying North Carolina's basketball team, the men's team struggling, enjoy your life because I got news for everybody who falls in that category. Hmm. They'll be back. And it will not take long for both of them to be back, in my opinion.
Right. I agree with you. Sit tight when we come back. More on our 9 o'clock visit with John Swofford. The ACC, during their annual winter meetings last week in South Florida, elected to fully endorse, unanimously approve, the one-time transfer that is on the table. Following the lead of the Big Ten, we'll talk with the commissioner at 9, but what's that mean now? And if this is ratified, it applies to sports where this has not been available before. We'll talk about that when Packer and Durham continues. We're live this morning on ACC Network and also SiriusXM ACC 371.
Packer and Durham.
Packer with this killer pack of dogs he's got in this basement, yes, sir. Evidently.
Mountain Lions have yet to win a game on our floor. Mountain Lions are over.
Ofo. All right.
Not our girl Chrissy up there rocking it.
All right. So the ACC announced yesterday, and the commissioner, John Swofford, will join us at 9 o'clock. They are going to they've endorsed this this policy that will ultimately be voted on, discussing the transfer environment and allowing the one-time transfer opportunity for all student-athletes. Now, for those of you who said, well, wait a second, wasn't this available? It was available in most sports with the exception of what you might say are the big ones, football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, and ice hockey, men's ice hockey. Now, the transfer in baseball was also subject to the amateur draft clock and things like that. So you had all those details about it, and you're certainly aware that kids applied for waivers and got them and things like that. Well, now we're not talking about any of the waivers. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about a one-time I'm leaving school A and I'm playing at school B next year. And I can leave mid-year, like December, after the regular season's over in the case of football, and play next year at the school and go to spring ball at that new school and do all that. It basically fortifies the transfer portal in many lines. Look, I'm not surprised the ACC's behind it. Pack, I'm okay with it, I think. I do have one concern about now the power of the student athlete and the implications from that, but I'll be interested to hear what the commissioner says about it.
Here is the statement from the ACC. And again, I'll let everybody do their own reading here. But like I said, when I heard this yesterday, it didn't surprise me at all. Yeah. I suspect that you'll probably hear and see similar responses from the other Power Five leagues. And you know, for the most part, everybody has conversations, kind of just see, hey, where do you fall with this? And does this work for you? Does this not work for you? And eventually, everybody normally gets on the same page with this kind of stuff.
I think if I'm reading the tea leaves the right way, so to speak, I think all five Power Five conferences are going to endorse this.
I think you're going to have to.
Right.
You really can't have like three of the five on board because when kids decide to transfer, oh, I'm sorry. How's that work? I mean, I just think that's, I think eventually this becomes the standard rule and law and regulation for NCAA sports.
But are you concerned about the implications?
I've told you before, I think it's great for the student athlete to have this ability, but I do think there needs to be at least some rules and regulations where this just doesn't become a blank canvas that at any point in time, I'm out of here. I mean, there has to be some kind of keep it in the lane, but hey, we're all at least heading in the right direction. That's all I'm saying.
Like the transfer window in the Premier League.
Well, I don't know anything about the Premier League. You and Amy Rosenfeld will have to discuss all that amongst
Last
yourselves.
Last a month, twice a year.
All I know is they put somebody on double secret probation the other day and they can't play in postseason.
Yeah, that's Man City and the Champions.
We got Major League Baseball issues and you're giving me Man City. but getting back to the topic at hand here.
Sure.
I expect all the Power Five conferences at some point in time to be on board with this.
I do too. I think, again, The student athlete has picked up a lot of power in a short period of time here.
What's wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as we all understand on both sides, including the student athlete and his or her parent, guardian, what have you, the implications of that
power. Did we not just have a football coach at a Power 5 school right after National Signing Day go, hey, oh, by the way, I'm going to go out and do a booster club.
No, 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 I got no problem with that.
And guess what? Oh, you know what? I'm now deciding to take this job over here.
Yeah. But you know what? He got paid at the other place, and he's getting paid at the new place.
Okay.
The student athlete who gets in the transfer portal after the end of football season, who then says, well, I'm available now.
Yeah, but what
I played at Magnolia Leaf State.
No, I get all that, but what about the student athletes at that institution that signed up to play for
coach? Now, I have no problem with that.
Oh, okay.
What I do have a problem with is a kid who gets frustrated with a coach, walks into the compliance office at 4:30 on a Wednesday afternoon in November and says, I'm transferring.
Let him.
And then loses his scholarship at the end of the academic calendar and then has no place to go.
Whose fault is that? That's the student athlete's fault. You made the decision, so you got to live with it.
But isn't there some point?
What's the problem with that?
At some point in this, aren't we obligated as the institution to offer this kid an athletic scholarship to, and I'm not saying it's the school's fault.
It can't be. The kid made the decision.
Aren't we obligated under some part here if the kid walks off to at least give him the best opportunity to find some place on a misguided intention?
Yes. But, you know, at some point in time, the person you see in the window, in the mirror, it's on you. I mean, if you made the decision to go to school X after all your visits and all that stuff, and you said, you know what, I really think that West Durham is the perfect coach for me, and Mark Packer Basement University is exactly where I need to be. Hey, maybe you get involved and you say, you know what, that coach is the one who I thought it was.
Or, right.
That basement stinks, man. Those dogs, I mean, whatever it is, I'm out of here. I'm going over to the neighbor's house.
But what if the neighbor doesn't have a scholarship?
Then you don't go to the neighbor's house. If there's not a home for you, wherever you wherever you land, hey, you've made the decision to do that. And if the school tells you, hey, son, hey, lady, I don't think it's a good idea for you to leave because, quite frankly, we're going to give you A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And, you know, I can't tell you that there's a place for you to go. But if that student athlete decides that, hey, you know what, I just can't deal with it here. Hey, tag, you're it. You know, you want to be an adult? This is what happens in life. You make decisions, you got to live with it.
I understand. The concern I had last year was that number we got at Amelia Island in the spring meetings
was
of
stunning.
The number of kids who were still in the portal with nowhere to go and essentially had voided their scholarships.
Do your homework. And again, that to me falls on the student athlete. You're the one that wants the power and rights? Fine. No problem. But when you make a decision, you have to own it. And to me, that's where we are.
And that's on the kid, and it's on his parents, it's on whoever.
It's on everybody that says, hey, we think it's in your best interest not to be at that school. Fine. Hey, here's the door. It's open. Knock yourself out. I hope it works out for you. And if it doesn't, hey, don't be pointing the finger at anybody. That's on you.
All right. Real quick, Floyd in Virginia.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yes, you. Floyd, you would be on the air.
You're on the air. Go ahead, Floyd.
As we speak. I would highly suggest you do it quickly.
I want to tell you that I don't think it should be a transfer rule, period. Because if you go to a college, you go to a college somewhere and you want to transfer, I don't think you should be allowed to.
Why?
I don't think you should be allowed to transfer.
I got that, but why?
Why, Floyd?
Why? Because of the fact that if you go to a school, you should be able to stay there.
Hey, Floyd, let me ask you a question. What do you do for a living?
Oh, no.
What do you do for a living?
I'm retired.
What was your first job?
My first job? I worked as a short order cook.
All right. And how long did you work there?
A very short period of time.
Why is that? You made the commitment to be a short order cook. Why didn't you do that for 50 years?
Why didn't you do it
for 4 years? Wait, guess what? You decided to make a move.
Yeah, right.
You shouldn't be allowed to make a move, given your theory.
I was allowed to make a move.
But I still think
if you go to a college, you commit to a college, you should stay there. You should not be allowed to transfer.
Why did you leave your job?
Why did I leave my job? Because I didn't like it.
That was the question. Well, maybe the student athletes don't like the school they're at.
Well, that's tough.
I see how this works. So you can have a job,
Floyd,
and you're good to go. Hey, this short order cook thing is not for me. I'm out of here. I've made a terrible decision. But an 18-year-old goes through the process of getting an education and playing a sport, and it doesn't work out, and you don't think they should be allowed to move. That seems like a double standard to me.
All right.
Put Floyd back
no,
here.
No, Floyd's
I want
fine.
Some more Floyd.
I know you do.
Why? Huh? What? Come on, dude. What are you talking about? You can't have that opinion. I mean, you're entitled to it, but that's a bad stance. That's what that is. I hated my job, so I left. Well, maybe a student athlete doesn't like the school they attended. They can leave. Why are they? They have to stay there forever. Why would that be the case? It's absolutely ridiculous. If you didn't like this doing this show, you have the ability to get and leave, right? Or maybe show up late.
4 minutes. Just four. It was only four minutes.
I've been to Floyd, Virginia, but Floyd in Virginia, come on. That's a terrible stance. I'll be honest with you.
We'll take a break. When we come back.
You agree with that? You're just going to just pass the buck.
Are you talking about Floyd's
position?
I don't agree with Floyd.
Well, that's all you had to say.
What my concern is has to do with the education.
At the end of the day, you better get an education.
I understand
you a check,
that. That's well, and here's
better
the
get a, I, you better get an education.
And as the father of college students, we all know that the price of higher education is going
through the roof.
Thank you very much. And Robert knows too. He's sending one away.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're going to go get a loan. And then we're going to come back, and the biggest little man in the ACC, Chris Likes, visits with Mark and our man Cornette when we continue. Packer and Durham, a Tuesday edition on ACC Network and Sirius XM 371.
Appreciate Floyd from Virginia calling in.
Come on, man. We're going to get other people in here.
Yeah.
We'll get other people in here to talk about this.
Yesterday, Chris Likes, after we got done with the show, Jordan Cornette had a plane to catch.
So it was just you?
Yeah. So wow. Chris Likes, who is finally back on the court, thank goodness.
Yeah, dude's a baller. Yeah, he is.
The Miami Hurricanes getting healthy at the right time. So Chris Likes joined us after the show yesterday. And I asked him point blank, man, looks like you guys are finally getting healthy at the right time. And it's got to be cool being back on the court. And here's what he said.
No, it definitely does. Being able to just be out there with my teammates and get back into a rhythm has been good overall.
How tough has it been, though, sitting there watching game after game after game, knowing I just can't go yet? It's gotta drive you crazy as a competitor.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that tries to play through a lot of injuries. Once I get out there, like adrenaline just helps, and I'm able to play through a lot of things. But with that groin injury, it was just hard for me to play, especially when I use a lot of my speed to my advantage. So, but the trainers and coaching staff did a good job of just making sure that I was fully ready to go, and now I'm back.
You know, you're listed at 5'7", and I'm going to tell you something, dude. Every time I watch you play, it's awesome. I mean, you have no fear, dude. I mean, you just got – your game is to the point where, hey, you mentioned your speed, but I just love your toughness going, hey, I don't care how big you are, I'm coming after you.
Nah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Where did that come from? Just survival?
Yeah, probably. Just at, you know, my size, I've always had to, you know, overcome a lot. And my dad always told me that he prepared me for that. So I think that's just a mentality that stuck with me for a while now.
Was there a player growing up as a kid that you watched? Because, I mean, I think of you like an Allen Iverson, man. The first time I ever met Iverson, I couldn't believe how tiny he was. And then you just watch a guy just totally dominate. Didn't matter if it's inside, outside, speed, toughness, the whole deal.
Yeah, I got the AI shirt on right now as we're speaking. So, that was definitely one of my biggest, you know, influences of my game, especially scoring the ball and just being tough and not letting the size be a disadvantage. So.
By the way, show me the shirt one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
Yeah, give me a shirt. Oh, dude, you do have it on, don't you?
Yeah.
How about that? So I had no idea, but man, just the way you play, it was just a perfect correlation between the way you play and the way Iverson got after it. You know, the fact that you guys are now starting to get healthy at the right time, do you get a sense that, hey, you're about ready to turn the corner? Because forget about what the standings say. You guys haven't been healthy all year.
Right, exactly. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is, the way it's gone for this season. But I think I would rather us going into the ACC tournament fully healthy and getting in the rhythm.
Your man Wong's been great too, hasn't he? You guys are a nasty tandem, man.
Yeah, no, he can really score the ball efficiently too. And we knew that coming in from the summer, so it's been fun playing with him and watching him get better each and every game.
What has Coach told you guys during this tough stretch?
The Coach has always been supportive. He always looks at it as, well, this is adversity, and we just got to keep pushing through it. It kind of happened to us last year a little bit, so nothing we're not too used to. But we just got to keep fighting, and that's what we've been doing for each and one of these games.
You know, when you guys are healthy in the backcourt, how would you rank your backcourt versus the rest of this conference?
I think we got a pretty deep backcourt. You know, we got a lot of different kind of guys. Guys that can score the ball, guys that can facilitate and see the floor. But it's kind of hard to, you know, prepare for all of us. You know, we got four guys, so it's a tough backcourt, and happy to be playing with those guys.
I was going to say the matchups are really dangerous because you can drive. You guys got the ability to score. You can go inside. You can go outside. You right. got kind of like your chances finally healthy now coming here the last 3 weeks, not to mention what's going to happen in the ACC tournament.
Right, exactly. I mean, just trying to get back into that rhythm. I think when we have all of our guys healthy, I think we're 6-1, 5-1, something like that. So just to, you know, have that type of confidence going to ACC tournament is going to mean a lot for us.
By the way, given your stature, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful, do you feel like you've got an advantage at 5'7" when all of a sudden you got these 6'1", 6'2" guards watching you going, oh, man, I got this guy 5'7", what's he going to do against me? I would think that given your skill set, you're sitting there laughing all the way to the bank on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've kind of gotten to a point where they know I can play, especially at this size. But now it's just trying to prove that, you know, I'm a winner too. And that's what I've been trying to prove all season. But unfortunately, we've kind of been unhealthy this season, kind of like last year. So, but overall, I just look at it as, you know, this is what God gave me, and I'm gonna use it.
No, you're doing a heck of a job. By the way, in your free time, I understand you like to be a youth basketball instructor. Talk to me about that a little bit. How much fun and satisfaction you get working with kids?
It's just good trying to, you know, teach the game, especially with the passing of Kobe Bryant. It shows how much he really meant to the game. It's how many people just connected their stories with his, and how he's just influencing a lot of people, you know. And I kind of take up on that. I like seeing guys grow. I like seeing guys learn, especially the incoming freshmen. You know, I get a chance to talk to them and teach them some of the things I learned when I got into college.
The Kobe passing hit hard, didn't it?
It did. It definitely did. And Kobe wasn't my favorite player, but I think each basketball player kind of took something from him, whether it was mindset or skill work.
What's it like being in Miami? Pro town. I mean, you got the Heat. They're playing and doing their thing. Yeah. You're doing your thing with the Canes. But, you know, Miami's always been a unique market from a sports perspective. With the Canes doing their thing, but it's always been a pro town. Yeah. From that perspective, from a basketball end, what kind of influence does that have on you and your game?
I mean, just to be able to see what they're doing with that organization. I mean, this year they've been incredible. They play as a team. They're fun to watch. Try to get to a couple games. The schedule is a little hectic here, but definitely going to try to get to a couple games.
And what do you, like, normally what would you pick up from watching an NBA game? I mean, what do you study?
Like, this past year, I felt like the NBA has picked up its intensity a lot more, especially with the Heat. You know, they play hard, they play that zone. So it's kind of fun to watch because a lot of the stuff happens in college, too. Teams prepare, you know. So, I mean, it's been fun to watch.
Would you say that Duke is the best team that you guys have played this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We played a lot of good teams this year. Unfortunately, I don't think we've played our best in both outings versus Duke. But definitely they play well as a team and they play hard.
All right. I always like to ask every student athlete that appears on the show this question. What is the toughest class that you've had at the University of Miami?
The toughest class? Probably my theater class. It was taken a little more seriously than I may have took it. But like guys were into it, you know, and it helped me get better at public speaking. So I was definitely glad I took the class, but it was a little tough.
So you thought this was going to be a layup, huh? You saw theater and you're like, oh man, I can act. I can do this. So that got to be a little more. Yeah.
It's a little more serious than what I thought it was. But it was good. It was good to be a part of that class.
Well, the public speaking part certainly is going to help you in your interviews and all that stuff. And listen, it's good to get you back on the court, man. I love watching you play, and we really appreciate the time this morning.
Nah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Good kid.
Yeah,
good
player. That was fun. By the way, he went to Gonzaga High in Washington, Gonzaga College High in D.C. Do you know who his high school teammate was? Bryant Crawford at Wake Forest.
Oh, no kidding.
Can you imagine as dynamic as Bryant Crawford was and Chris Likes? By the way, Nate Britt also went there too. And school's done a phenomenal job producing basketball talent. But can you imagine those two?
Drive you crazy.
Yeah. Think? Unbelievable.
He's a really good player. I'm glad he's back though. And so is Jim Larrañaga.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance now. I mean, it's going to be he missed so much time that I think he's going to impact the All-ACC team. I'm just not sure how. I think he's going to be, you know, third team probably. We could have been maybe second team if he played the whole year at a high level. Certainly would have been a first-team candidate. But I think the injuries, and that's really going to be a storyline. We get to All-ACC, by the way, here in a couple of weeks when those ballots start coming out. How does some of that stuff come together? There's also another obstacle on there we're going to talk about later in the week.
How cool, though, was it that, you know, I think of him, I think of Allen Iverson.
And he's wearing the shirt.
And who would have known he's wearing an Allen Iverson t-shirt underneath? Crazy.
Unbelievable. Don't forget, we got ACC basketball for you tonight right here on ACC Network, and it's a good one. We'll take you to Tallahassee, presented by GEICO. Jeff Capel in Pittsburgh meet number 8 Florida State. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander, and the coveted invite will be there. Katie George, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, it is bark or bite. A little early in the week for this, isn't it? Oh, no. Christian Laettner? Oh, I know where this is going. John Beilein? Oh, this is going to be difficult. Back after this.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
There we go.
All right, speaking of hounds, barking and biting.
Sure.
That's where we're going next, apparently.
Yep, let's go live to Bristol in the ACC Network Control Room. Please welcome Josh Macri and Drew Brooks. Mr. Macri on the left, Mr. Brooks on the right. They craft the topics for Bark or Bite.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way.
I'm doing my best. What was it? Floyd imitation. Yes.
Why, huh? What? Short order cook. Everybody, you're not allowed to move. All right.
Tough.
Yeah, so who's on the back row before we start this segment? Who's on the back row today?
Back row today, we have Hank, we have George, of course we have Lewis, we have LJ in the back bunker, we have Spencer in the radio bunker.
Yes, we do. Spencer, you deserve a meritorious salute from Packer and Durham for your efforts.
Who's the lensman today?
Vic is today's lensman.
Vic the lensman, all right? Very good. Now we are ready to move forward with bark or bite.
Okay. Sure are. Now we got all that out of the way. First question, bark or bite? After two huge wins in their last two games against Boston College and Wake Forest, bark or bite that Miami is the scariest, quote-unquote, Tuesday team when we get to Greensboro?
When healthy, they are a scary team. And Georgia Tech is, too. Again, we still don't know about Georgia Tech. Are they in? Are they out? What are we doing?
We don't know where Georgia Tech is going to the tournament. We don't know where they're going to play Tuesday, Wednesday. We know they're not going to play. Well, they may play Thursday if they win Wednesday. How's that?
Who knows? But Miami is a problem when they're healthy.
I will bite on Miami being the scariest Tuesday team.
Yeah, me too.
I think of the ones that we categorically think are going to play Tuesday, I think Miami would be the scariest at this point because they are healthy. I thought Chris Likes talked about the adversity of just the team and its health the last 2 years especially. Yeah. And remember, they're never going to be 100% because Dengak was lost for the year. But, yeah, I would say right now, Miami, and by the way, their stretch, they got a chance at Virginia Tech. I'll get them Saturday night against Notre Dame, then Georgia Tech on the road, and then Virginia Syracuse to finish could legitimize kind of where they are.
It, much like Notre Dame, a manageable finish down the stretch for a team getting healthy for the first time in a long time.
The Kihei Clark, Chris Likes thing, by the way, fellas, has a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
Next one, we've spent some time talking about that nothing but net all-time ACC draft. Bark or bite that Christian Laettner should have been a first-round pick in that draft, meaning he was one of the first three guys chosen.
Bite.
Yeah, bite. In fact, I believe in our halftime segment, I gave an F to all three of our distinguished colleagues because
bite.
There was no Laettner to be found of the first 15 picks.
And no Hansbrough. And look, they're all wonderful players. But, I mean,
But you think Laettner should have been on that top line then?
No question. No question Laettner should have been. Tyler Hansbrough should. We're talking about them as college players, not as pro players. And Christian Laettner and Ralph Sampson and Tyler Hansbrough and David Thompson are the four best players in ACC history.
Hansbrough would not
have been three picks in the first round.
Hansbrough would not have been on my first line, but he would have been on my second line.
I mean, you know, I understand the Grant Hill, Michael Jordan, Zion Williamson thing. We're talking about guys that, you know, crafted ACC legacies here.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it.
Go look up Leitner's resume and then get back to me. Seriously, if that's a standard, you have to beat his resume to be on that first line. You go there, and I guarantee you're not going to find three better than that.
Because he's two-time national champion, two-time national player of the year.
Final four every year.
Right.
I mean, come
what
on.
What about Zion's resume, though?
Zion was there for 6 months. He was there for 6 months and was a really good player.
A really good player for 1 year.
When the Final Four started, he was on the couch with me eating Cheetos.
Yep. He saw the Final Four from the exact same place we did.
Yeah, I mean, are you fat-shaming him?
I'm not fat-shaming him at all. I got plenty of Cheetos, and when the Final Four was taking place, he wasn't playing in it.
You know, there's a difference. And look, Ralph, and everybody that says Ralph Sampson, you know, didn't win a national championship, no, but he went to a Final Four, 1981 in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's...
Grant Hill, yes, I know Grant Hill went to went to a bunch of Final Fours and won national titles.
If the putting together the teams based on your ACC resume, it is a no brainer.
And see, this is the problem when you start looking at it. That's why, you know, Len Bias, his impact in the college game is still remembered because unfortunately and tragically, we never got to see the pro impact.
Right.
So we don't have the Michael Jordan situation. Which is we measure a 6-time NBA champion against a guy who hit a jump shot as a freshman and was the national player of the year.
I mean, I love my man Unverified Luke, right?
Right.
But you go put Billy Cunningham, and I gave him props for going old school to find a player, which I think was cool. But go put Billy Cunningham's North Carolina resume up against Tyler Hansbrough's North Carolina resume and then get back to me. Just get back to me.
Right.
It's not even comparable. It's not even close.
Yeah. There's by the way, the other aspect of it, I do give Luke credit too for DT because DT was a while ago, but he is still to this day one of the greatest pros in ACC history.
David Thompson's college resume versus Michael Jordan's college resume. It's not close.
Right.
It's not close. Now, if you're going to ask me who's the all-time greatest player between the two, that's not close either.
Mm-hmm.
But if the standard is to figure out all ACC based on your ACC resume, come on, man. Yeah. There were some selections there that made zero sense.
Right.
Zero.
So, all right.
Wow. We have three more questions here. I think we're going to maybe get
save
to
them.
One more, and we're going to save the other two for our over-unders tomorrow. So let's close out on this one. NC State, bark or bite, that they'll win one of their three remaining games against ranked opponents. They got the Blue Devils twice, and they have the Noles once.
You know what? Common sense would tell you to say bark, but because it's NC State and nothing ever seems to make sense, I think they're going to win one.
Bite.
I got no idea which one it is. They may win one big.
They may win two. You know why? Because it's NC State.
Man, none of it makes sense.
Right. Look, they play Duke twice in 12 days and have Florida State Saturday at 4 o'clock.
It's a big week for State. Duke and Florida State this week for the red and white. Big week.
Need good NC State to show up if you're a Wolfpack fan.
No doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. And then they get North Carolina next week, and who knows if the Heels have won a game in February yet. Just telling you, get ready for that barking. That bark's coming.
Yeah.
NC State fans going, oh, my God, we got to play North Carolina and Chapel Hill. They ain't won a game all month. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Just telling me.
Then you're going to say they can't have nice things.
Well, you get nice things when you win games. NC State women's program, right? The big hype game in Louisville. Hey, it's a tough loss. I mean, Louisville's really good. Then lose to Georgia Tech and home. You got to win games. Got to win. Like the NC State wrestling. Wolfpack wrestling. You can have nice things.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
You win.
There you go. Like the Nothing But Net group. When we come back, we're going to discuss. They're going to put these guys on the floor. Who's going to coach them?
Yeah, this is going to be a audience participation.
Look at Bill Chamberlain yawning. Love that video. At the Final Four, by the way. We'll take a break. We'll pick the coach of this ultimate ACC team that was picked by the Nothing But Net fellas. When we start hour two of Packer and Durham on ACC Network and Sirius XM, ACC 371.